A universal doubt that we all seem to have at different points in our life is this question on the reality of God. Is God real? And so today is the second half of a conversation I had with Lee Strobel, where we unpack that very question. This conversation was such a blessing to me, and I know it's going to bless you. Stay tuned.
Do you sometimes doubt if you're truly hearing God's voice or if it's really your own? Or have you been in a season where it feels like he's completely silent? Have you been praying for a way to learn how to hear his voice more clearly? Hey friends, I'm Rachel, host of the Hearing Jesus podcast. If you are ready to grow in your faith and to confidently step into your identity in Christ, then join me as we dig deep into God's word so you can learn to live out your faith in your everyday life.
The Hearing Jesus podcast is so excited to partner with Compassion International. We believe in Compassion's mission to release children from poverty in Jesus' name. Sponsors, when they sponsor a child, have the opportunity to see firsthand the impact that you're making through letters and updates that you receive from your sponsored child. It's not just changing the lives of children, it's changing entire families, whole communities, always through the local church and always in Jesus' name. When you choose to sponsor a child, you ensure access to quality education, medical checkups, healthy food, clean water, and most importantly, the love of Jesus, delivered through a church in their community because of a generous, caring sponsor like you. And you can speak life, love, and hope to your sponsored child through personal letters that you'll exchange. I hope you'll join me in sponsoring a child through Compassion today. All you have to do is pull out your phone and text Hearing Jesus to 83393. You'll get a text back with a picture of a child who is waiting for a sponsor and a link to sponsor that child. You can also go to compassion.com/hearingjesus to choose a boy or girl to sponsor. When you sponsor, we'll also send you a copy of She Hears, Learning to Listen to Jesus, my book, as a token of our thanks for investing in the life of a child. Thank you for joining me and sponsoring a child through Compassion today.
I had an experience as a youngster when I was about 10 years old where an angel appeared to me in a dream, the only dream I remember from my childhood. And that angel said something to me that was prophetic and came true about 20 years later. Mm. So many people have this kind of thing. But for a lot of people, they don't. They just come to a conviction that God is real. They begin to say, yes, the evidence points in that direction. Yes, it seems true. And the key verse that my wife used with me, because I was an atheist. I spent 2 years investigating this stuff. And then on November the 8th of 1981, I sat down and I reviewed everything. And I said, wait a second. In light of this avalanche of evidence that points so powerfully toward the truth of Christianity, it would take more faith to maintain my atheism than to become a Christian. And so I said, but what do I do? Because it was just in my head. I just understood it. And the verse my wife pointed out to me is John 1:12. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name. And I noticed that verse forms an equation of what it means to become a child of God. Mm-hmm. Believe, that's the head stuff, I believe it, plus receive equals become. Receive what? Receive this free gift of forgiveness and eternal life, this free gift of God's grace that he purchased for me on the cross when he died as my substitute to pay for all of my sin. And when I receive that free gift of grace in a prayer of repentance and faith, I become a child of God. And I can go back to that moment and always say, no, I know I did on that day. And then the Bible says the Holy Spirit whispers to our spirit. He affirms to our spirit that we are safely adopted into the kingdom of God. And yes, there are moments in our life where we begin to have questions or we begin to have hesitations or even doubts. That's all right. Even John the Baptist got thrown in prison. He had some doubts. But what did Jesus say to the friends of John the Baptist? Go back to John and tell him what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. In other words, tell John about the evidence you've seen with your own eyes that convinces you that I am the one I claim to be. And then Jesus later says, among those born of women, there's no one greater than John. You know, even though John had the temerity to ask a question, to express a hesitation about the identity of Jesus. And so, you know, I would say to anybody who's watching or listening to say, you know, If you feel hesitant, uncertain, apprehensive about where you're going to go when you die, you know, can you look back at a moment in time, or maybe it was an era of time where you received this free gift of God's grace? And if you can't really point to that, I would say do it now. Mm-hmm. Do it today. And then you can always point back to today and say, no. I know I'm having some questions, whatever, but I know on that day I received God's free gift of grace. He's mm-hmm. forgiven me. He's adopted me. He's opened the gates of heaven for me. And we can have that confidence.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think it takes an incredible amount of faith to even ask some of those questions and express to God some of those doubts. And I think even as a parent, you know, sometimes my kids ask me tough questions, but because I love them, I want to respond to those questions. Yes. And I think sometimes we forget that God is not just a father, but he's a good father. And he wants us to come to him with his, with our questions, and he's trustworthy to answer those.
You know, and that's a great point. Yeah. I love the way you put that. And what I found is, questions that come up in our spirit, I call them spiritual sticking points that are kind of holding them up in our spiritual growth. When that happens, it's like a nightmare when you were a little kid. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you're 8 years old, you're in bed, you have a terrible nightmare, and you wake up and your palms are sweaty and your heart's pounding. And what do? You run into your parents' bed and jump in, and they say, "What's wrong?" And you say, "I had this nightmare." And then they say, "Well, what was it about?" "Oh, well, there was this monster under my bed and he had 5 eyes and 10 hands. And then you start to laugh because, you know, once you talk about it, once you discuss it, it loses its grip on you. Yeah. And if you keep questions in, if you're afraid that people won't think I'm very spiritual, if I have a question that's concerning me, if you keep that in, it can start to erode your soul. Mm-hmm. But if you talk about it, you'll find out that, oh, lots of people have this question. No, guess what? There are 5 books that have been written to respond to that question. Mm-hmm. So I think you're right. And especially in children, we need to encourage them, as you've encouraged your kids. It's okay to ask questions.
Yeah.
It's okay. That's fine. That's a good thing to do so that you can rest assured in your faith.
Yeah, and it's also an opportunity to explain to them how we wrestled with those questions ourselves and how, you know, the Lord kind of showed up. You know, I've been on the mission field a number of times and taken my older two kids with me on several of those trips. And so they've seen firsthand the way that God, you know, too many times to even mention here, the way that God has intervened in miraculous ways where we have no choice but to say that was God. And I'm talking about, you know, even things like we were doing, our team was doing a kind of like a vacation Bible school kind of camp for the kids. And we had planned, I think, for 600 kids and we had 1800 show up.
Oh my goodness.
And this was in Africa and it was one of the first big events right after COVID. So there was a lot of reasons why there was a lot more kids than normal, but there was enough supplies to feed all of those kids. And it was literally a modern day loaves and fishes kind of story.
Wow.
And
cool.
So my kids have grown up seeing and hearing about those kinds of things. And yet there's always an objection from people that will say the question that you asked, well, yeah, okay, you're working in Africa, but those kids are suffering. So if God is real, why is there suffering in the world? And how, I know how I answer that question, but how do you respond to that question?
Well, it is the most popular question or the most asked question. I've done a survey and asked people, if you could ask God any one question and you knew he'd give you an answer right now, what would you ask him? And this was by far, by a factor of 5, the number one question. And it's legitimate because people suffer. My wife has a neuromuscular condition. She has been in pain for 20 years, every single day. And she will be in pain every single day for the rest of her life. It's an incurable condition unless God does a miracle, which he hasn't chosen to do in our lives. And so this is not just an intellectual exercise. This is a personal question. And God sent a personal response in Jesus Christ. So it's important to understand a couple of things. I won't go into a lot of detail, but a couple of things to understand. Number one, every worldview needs to deal with the origin of suffering. So it's not just Christianity.
Yeah.
Number two, this does not negate the 20 lines of evidence and arguments that point toward the truth of Christianity. It doesn't take those away, but it is a legitimate question. So I interviewed Dr. Peter Kraft, famous philosopher, on this question. And honestly, he gave me the most powerful interview. And I hope people who wrestle with this will read this chapter because I think he does a masterful job. But if, you know, I hate to give a 25-cent answer to a $1 million question, but, you know, to sum it up, I would say God, since eternity past, has existed as the triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, in a perfect love relationship. And so love is the highest value in the universe. And so when God decided to create humankind, he decided to give us the ability to love each other and to love him. Well, the only way he could do that is to give us free will. Why? Because love always involves a choice.
Yeah. Hey friends, with summer coming up before we know it, I wanted to share with you about one of our partners, Kids Across America Camps. For over 30 years, their mission has remained the same, to build Christian leaders by encouraging, equipping, and empowering urban youth and their mentors through camp and education. In both my own life and in the life of my daughters, camp has been a life-changing, future-altering experience. For many kids, this is not only the highlight of the summer, but their lives. Children and teens dedicate their lives to Christ. Young believers put down deep roots in the faith. The food, the games, the sports, the friends, it's so much fun. With Kids Across America Camps, many of the kids and teens they serve come from under-resourced communities. Finances are often the only thing standing between them and camp, between them and an extraordinary first meeting with Jesus. What happens if they don't get to come? Well, more of the same. Many of these kids will spend all summer in environments that will keep them from being exposed to the love of Jesus and potentially exposing them to more violence, more crime, more alcohol and drugs. But if you send them to camp, everything can change. You can give towards camper scholarships that can truly make an eternal impact in the life of one of these students. Every gift counts. Even small gifts can be paired together to help sponsor a child to go to camp. But please don't wait. Only a few weeks remain before camp starts, and we want every deserving child and teen to be able to attend. Go online to give KAACamps, that's camps with a K, .org/hearingjesus. That's KAACamps.org/hearingjesus.
You know, I'm going to date myself here, but when my daughter was little, the popular toy to give little girls was Chatty Cathy. I don't know if you ever heard of Chatty Cathy.
I've been called Chatty Cathy a time or two in my life.
Well, it used to be a doll, and it had a string on the back, and you pull the string and let go, and the doll would talk to you. So I gave it to her for Christmas, and she pulls the string and lets go. And the doll said to her, "I love you." That's how good the technology was back then. But did that doll love her? No, of course not. It was programmed to say that. It was a mechanical device. It had no choice. Real love always involves a choice. And so what has humankind done with our choice? We've turned our back on God. Yeah. We violated his laws. We've turned our backs on each other. We hurt each other. We've opened the door to evil and suffering in the world. And, you know, we, in a sense, we told God to shove off, and he partially has, and human disease and suffering has entered into the world. Mm-hmm. But here's the deal. I can take my hand, and in my free will, I can feed a hungry child.
Yeah.
Or I can take that same hand and pick up a gun and kill an innocent person. But if I pick up a gun and kill an innocent person, it's a little disingenuous to say to God, "Well, why do you allow suffering?" You know? Yeah. I mean, we're the problem. He had no other choice but to give us free will if we're truly going to love. But we're the ones that actualize the potential for evil and suffering. Mm-hmm. And we've had the consequences. But here's the deal. Jesus said in John 16:33, he said, "I've written these things to you so that you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble." Now, stop there. He's being honest. If you go to Eastern religions, they'll tell you, "Oh, suffering, that's Maya. That's an illusion." And I want to say, have you ever met my wife? Her suffering is not an illusion. Yeah. It's very real. Yeah. So Jesus said, in this world, you have suffering. But then he said, "Take courage, though. I have overcome the world."
Yeah.
So he's saying, I can give you peace for the present and courage for the future if you follow me. In fact, the Bible says in Romans 8:28 that God can cause all things to work together for our good in this world or the next if we follow him. And sometimes we say, my suffering's too great. God can't draw any good from it. And yet Peter Crave told me this. He said, "Lee, think of this. God has taken the worst possible thing in the history of the universe, which is the death of the Son of God on a cross. And from that, he has created the best possible thing that's ever happened in the universe, which is the opening of heaven to all who follow him." Yeah. So if God can take the worst thing in the universe and turn it into the best thing in the universe, he can even take our sufferings and draw good from them.
Yeah.
And I think most Christians can look back at the suffering in their lives and see how God has done that. I see that in my wife's life, how God has sensitized her to other people, given her great empathy and a ministry to serve hurting people. You know, it's a complicated question. Mm-hmm. It deserves 25 pages of answer, which is what we give to Peter Kraft in the book. And but I never question people for their motives of asking that question. Yeah. I think it's completely legit.
And I think, you know, there are some things that we will not fully understand or reconcile this side of heaven. You know, I think acknowledging that and realizing that has been helpful for me.
Yes.
And I also look back over times of suffering in my own life, and I realize that there is a very sweet aspect of my relationship with the Lord that I would not have experienced outside of suffering. And so while I wouldn't ever want to wish suffering on myself or anybody else, I also know that there is just this aspect of my relationship with God that I do want other people to know if they are suffering. And so
that is so good. Yeah. And that is so true. I mean, think of the times when everything's going great. Everything's going great. Are you really close to God in those times? Well, sometimes we kind of forget to pray. And sometimes God kind of gets put on this bottom shelf. But when we're in a crisis, when we're experiencing a trauma, when we're suffering, we draw near to God in remarkable ways. And Johnny Erickson Tada, who I'm sure you know, who was paralyzed at age 17 from a diving accident, been in a wheelchair for over 50 years. And she said, I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing God than walking around without him, because God used that suffering to bring her to a rich and a real and a robust relationship with him.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so powerful. Well, Lee, I wonder if you would pray for our listeners, especially the listeners. I always like to end the show with prayer because the things we talk about tend to prick hearts a little bit. And so maybe if you could pray for the person that is maybe facing that question on their own, is God real? And that this isn't just necessarily about reading a book for them, but it's really something that God is using to draw them closer to him.
Yes.
Would you mind praying for the person himself in that place?
I'd be honored to. Let's pray. Father, we come to you as your children who love you. We know that in this world, we see through a glass darkly. We don't understand everything. And there are times when we have questions, we have doubts, we have hesitations. And I know that's just part of the human spirit. But I pray for anyone listening who's going through that experience, that you would draw them close to you, that by your Holy Spirit, you would bring them closer to you, enrich their relationship with you. I pray for those who begin to wonder, am I really in a relationship with God? That even at this moment, they would say, Lord, as best I can, I believe Jesus is who he claimed to be, your son. And I believe he died for my sins. And I confess I'm a sinner. And I turn from that. And in repentance and faith, I receive right now your free gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Father, I pray for anyone that takes that step, that you would help them to get into a church where they can grow, where they can learn, help them to plug into Rachel and her ministry, where they learn to study the Bible and to grow in their relationship with you. Father, wherever we're at on that road of experience, that we would open our hearts ever wider to you, whether it's for the first time, whether we've been your follower for a long time, that whatever, wherever we are, you would draw us closer right now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Lee.
Sure.
Well, I have a question. Could you tell us just quickly about the Lee Strobel Center for Evangelism and Applied Apologetics? I believe it's at CCU, isn't it?
Yes, at Colorado Christian University. That's right.
Yeah. So what's that program about? Because this is a shameless plug, but I know a lot of my daughter's friends will be listening and they have to pick a college soon. So just wondering what that's all about.
Yeah, it's a great college, Colorado Christian, very strong theologically, great people, great faculty. And our center, you can get an undergraduate degree, a bachelor's degree in evangelism or apologetics.
I love that.
And you get a master's degree if you'd like. We have many students, hundreds of students in that program. It's all online. It's all accessible from anywhere. And you have a professor, you do it by Zoom and so forth. And you can also take certificate courses, which are for people that don't want a degree, but they'd like to take a course on the resurrection or on Islam or on evangelism or whatever. And they're very inexpensive. And our hope is to train the next generation. I know you're so committed to that.
Yeah.
How do we pass on our faith to this next generation so that, and I really believe this, they could become the strongest generation for Jesus Christ who's ever lived.
Amen.
There's
Amen.
No reason why not. Let this be the greatest generation that's ever lived for God.
Yeah, that's certainly the prayer of my heart. Well, where can people get a copy of your book and learn more?
Well, they can come any place where books are available. Is God Real is the title. If you want more information on our Center for Colorado Christian, if you go to StrobelCenter.com, all the information is there.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It's been a pleasure having you.
Thank you. I've loved it, Rachel. God bless you and your ministry.
All right. Thank you so much. Hey friends, before you go, real quick, I want to let you know that we have extra resources at shehears.org to help you grow in your faith. Whether you're looking for a new Bible or Bible tabs or additional Bible studies, I've curated a selection of some of my favorite things that I think you're really going to love. So with Easter coming up, I want to offer you 10% on the store. If you go to shehears.org and go to our shop on the resources page, you can enter the code HEARINGJESUS for 10% off between now and Easter. Happy shopping! Hey friends, if this podcast helped encourage, empower, or equip you in your walk with God, I would love it if you would head over to Apple Podcasts and leave me a review. That's the number one way you can support my show. You can also join our free Facebook community or Instagram page where I share inspirational tips, bonus content, resources, and prayer throughout the week. Hey, I want you to know I'm praying for you. Know that you are so loved. Keep going.
My name's Preston Sprinkle, and I host the Theology in the Raw podcast. Theology in Raw aims to help believers to think Christianly about theological and cultural issues by engaging in curious conversations with a diverse range of thoughtful people. I have conversations with a wide range of different guests who come from different perspectives, and no topic is off limits. Sexuality, abortion, politics, LGBTQ, warfare, violence, marijuana, immigration, you name it. If you have a theological or cultural issue that you have been wrestling with over 1,100 episodes, we've probably talked about it on Theology in the Raw. Along with conversations with various people, I also address questions sent in from my audience every month. And occasionally, I will talk about some of my latest research projects that I'm currently working on. Theology in the Raw is not for everyone. It is uncut, uncensored, and I don't give trigger warnings. So check out Theology in the Raw through your favorite podcast app.